Jesus, I discovered this is kind of an invisible family of my son Eric, who I'm going to be here on the 18th of December. Not much time for Merry Christmas.
I'm ready for that.
And I'm ready for that too. I'm going to have all those every year from up
there. It's great. I'm going to be together with family. Strange kids.
We know full well the Christmas is a pagan holiday. December 25th was the shortest day of the year, and that pagans celebrated that as a time to bring the sun back up, you know. Probably would sacrifice the sacrifice. That's what they didn't like, you know. The ruling party would sacrifice the non-ruling party. Anyway, but still, Jesus was born. Probably took it out on Christmas Day. The day we celebrate Christmas Day. Celebrates birthdays one day a year. It's a good day, isn't it?
Thomas will be on Christmas.
Right. Where are you? Welcome to call in and be on the program if you'd like. We should be everything working today. If you want to call in our office at 850-479-DINO. 850-479-3466 or toll-free 877 if you're in the U.S. 877-479-DINO. And our secretaries will transfer the call, and Jonathan transfer the call, and eventually we'll get here and we'll get you on air. Or you can AOL instant message us.
So our name is DRDINO, Dr. Dino, live.
Or you can just email, or snail mail, or air mail, or bring it by and hand it to us.
We'll check it.
Yeah. And you can have this, right?
So it goes by.
Sure, whatever.
So stop on by.
Stop on by. That is our venture land. Where we haven't found here, that's our venture land.
1500 North Palafox. This place absolutely rocks, I'm going to tell you. We've got all kinds of things from science to prove the show that the earth is not millions of years old. All kinds of stuff to show that the Bible is true. Some things that actually verify what was said in God's Word in the Bible are just supposed to be. There's a bit of all the rides and activities.
Right.
See, my eyes come by that circus plane. It is great.
The fact that it's in my backyard and we built it means nothing. It really is the most awesome place in the world.
That's true.
We didn't live here. I still go visit it all the time. It's a wonderful place, so come on down. I want to see why 27,000 people have come in the first few years we've been open. Okay, what we're going to do is make a couple testimonies. Let's make a few announcements. I got your name. And the window's open here on my computer. We're going to testimonies, announcements, creation, Southeast Creation Conference coming up September 17, 18, 19. You need to come. It's going to be great.
Cost is only going to be $50, I believe. Is it
right? It's when you leave, you get to take home the binder with all of the audio tape very session.
And that only costs us $55, so actually you're getting a really good deal here.
So we lose a little bit on every person, but we make up for it in volume.
That's how we get
it. How we kind of do it. Some of the testimonies here have been sent to us. So let's see this one from Maxine Spence. I just finished reading your most recent edition of your e-newsletter. The people writing who disagree with you all sound so angry. Jeepers. Funny thing, I also noticed that they can't spell either.
Okay. Every Wednesday morning, we read some testimonies, and some good, some bad sometimes.
Yeah.
The bad ones, it really is funny. Those are the people that they can't spell, like me. I've got a
better answer. Well, it's not, I mean, no. What was his name? Vice President couldn't spell, quite couldn't spell potato. I part of a spelling also, by the way.
I have a spell check.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But that's 7.
Anyhow.
That's 7. Praise God. Okay, got a pen. Spell check.
That's
funny.
Really. Then we're going to be able to come to the conference for $25.
We'll pay them enough.
Yeah.
Forget this. We're going to have a spell check. Okay. They sound so angry.
I agree.
They can't spell. Say, why is it that people believe in God, Jesus, and the fact that the universe and everything in the world behind it created incur such hatred? Well, Maxine, that's because people don't. People believe in evolution. Many people don't want there to be a God telling them what to do.
That's exactly right.
That's why they believe in evolution. 2 Peter 3 says, in the last days there will be scoffers who walk after their own lust. The reason they scoff at the Bible is not because of their science, it's because of their sin.
Well, clearly says that.
Yeah, I've encountered many people.
But that's exactly the case.
Sure it is.
But if you don't want a God, it's like, I'll show them.
If I was going to invent a God, I would not invent one that says you can't do these things that you like to do.
No, we haven't.
I'd invent one that says, hey, go do whatever you want.
Oh, okay. That's why evolution sounds so good to many people. Sure. It allows them to do whatever they want. I think that's why the TV show, I mean, common cable television now is filthy because of that same idea. If you've got a culture of evolution, there is no God, there are no more absolutes. We can do whatever we want, so they're going to continue pushing the boundary that the very first founded on. The idea, the morals that we were founded on, and continue to push those because of this idea of evolution ultimately is a reflection.
Well, Romans chapter 1, you can see that the progression starts off. They did not want to retain God in their knowledge. And then they digress into worshiping the beasts, and that is homosexuality. Read Romans chapter 1. But when you're done, read Romans chapter 2, where it says, you are inexcusable if you judge these folks because you're doing the same thing. So a lot of Christians,
I think we're all upset about the evil in the world that we should, but then we allow the same evil in the world to be out there. And thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, anyway, thank you, Maxine. That's also she writes here. The fact that God created the universe, they don't like that idea. I agree. If one chooses not to believe these things, that is his or her choice, but why are you so angry at those who do believe? Well, Maxine heard a saying years ago, if the Lord's white sheep become dirty gray, will black sheep feel more comfortable?
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, it does. It makes Christians are trying to do what God says, make evil people look really bad, you know?
Okay.
There's another frowny face.
Right.
If it's another, that means this person is not happy.
Then it's Bilchik.
And there's a question about it.
Okay.
Why?
There it is.
Anonymously.
Anonymous.
Atheist. Often anonymous. I wonder about that.
We call that wrong.
Okay. We won't hurt you, okay?
We promise you
we're
fine.
We're
going to
help. We're going to help. We're going to help. We have what you need. Here's one of the comments. Yes, I have a question. How are you people still alive? Do you seem too stupid to breathe?
Wow.
Boy, how do you answer a question like that? I'll tell you what, I'm not dumb enough to believe I came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago.
I'm
not dumb enough to think my ancestors won by their tail.
I don't have anything
to tell you about my name. It's spelled right.
I put on my letters, by the way.
And even my address is on there. I live right here on property.
So that's my home address.
Come on, Salem.
Come on, Salem.
We're going to have another anonymous one. But this one, apparently, was a smiley face. Dr. Obama, I'm on the board at my child's school. That's why they want to be anonymous. Anybody supports the Lord and does what's right, and they're not involved in public life, they want to be careful that they don't let people know who they are, because people try to find a way to fire them for some other reason. Okay. I'm on the board at the school, at child's school, as well as the technology administrator, which is a fancy way of saying I fix the computers. Jonathan, you can be the technology administrator.
Wow. That's called,
you know, it's a
problem. It's the technology administrator.
Joey? Oh, would it be you? Yeah. Everybody have a title around here?
Not yet.
Not yet. You're working on it.
Okay.
Wait, can I answer your title? Call Sasquatch. That's all you throw. 6 foot. So my 6 foot five made it to the game for last week. That three-dimensional maze.
Oh, that's a part of the
internet.
If you ever stop by, if you ever close, you've got to come just for the cave crawler. That's the original medical stuff. It's a 6 foot long, by 12 foot long, wide,
7 levels, 3 dimensional, up, down, back, around.
That's 12 feet tall. So you have the 6 foot by 12 foot by 12 foot room. Inside of that room, you go through 200 feet of tunnel crawling your way through.
I mean, you know, I built, you designed it.
Yeah, I got to design it and we built it. But it's a real cave crawler.
Okay, if you get stuck in there, we get the air compressor and a big water cotton. It blows right out the other end, eventually. They got a little bruise, but not fun. Okay, here's how much it's by the computer's technology administrator. That's where we got distracted. Let's see. I downloaded the entire 17-hour seminar in front of the server at the school.
Wow.
Public school, for real. And then placed a desktop folder on all 78 computers that I maintain, including the headmaster and all the teachers. I then sat back and watched for a couple of weeks to see what would happen. The first contact was from our new science teacher who asked for a projector attached to her computer so she could show this new program that just appeared on her computer over the weekend. A week later, I walked to the high school computer lab and saw 6 students watching the seminars on their desktops.
Wow.
Had a lot of fun watching the reactions in Jesus' name.
So it's, they didn't have a person to check it out for a while.
Wow. Right after that, it's amazing how many Christian teachers are in the school or Christian principals that are doing what they can. There are thousands of people who are teachers who just show up and take part in their class.
Got a couple of questions here before we get started. The last couple of programs that we've been doing is we've been talking about the anti-Hogan websites, things people have to say against the anti-Dr. Hogan. And before we get to those and continue on with those, we're going to have things we're going to talk about.
Jonathan, did you say Eric has his own anti-Eric website now? You made it
tough.
You made it tough. Appreciate that. A couple of questions for you. Oh, wait, we don't want this stuff to work.
Appreciate that.
Alright.
Are you sure the preflow band synthesizes vitamin C? Because, Lewis Pauling said if you only ate plant food, which is what preflow band ate, you'd be getting 40 times the RNA and wouldn't that be beneficial enough?
Can't answer that question, don't know, but Bill Sardi can answer the question.
He is nutritionally genius.
BillSardi.com. SCRDI, go to BillSCRDI.com and tell Bill you want to know about this. He thinks, and I guess he's a research, a nutrition researcher, he's got a great article, Snack of Stuff, on how that there's a gene in a human gene code that apparently is deactivated, mutated, doesn't work anymore, okay? Which is the opposite of evolution. But it would allow the body to create its own vitamin C out of many things that you eat. He says, for instance, billy goats, their body creates 15,000 units of vitamin C every day for what they eat. So, we're probably designed to have a lot more vitamin C. Let us probably with variety, and we need a lot more vitamin C than we get. But to answer the question, James,
I think it's in billy goats in order to actually get that gene.
You're totally missing the part.
No, that's okay. Let's read the next question.
Okay.
This is a real goat. Hello, everyone. My name is Mike. My question to you is, in one of the seminars, you talked about churches being incorporated. How that's a bad thing. How do I go about finding out if the church I go to in this state is incorporated, and how can I help my church get out of it if they are?
Okay, I covered that on seminar, and I think 1B now has some slides in here. And then there's again the new seminar in 2003, which Jonathan tells me is on the website. You can watch it. 2003 seminar is now online, a little grainy, but it's great. Okay, we saw it. And if you want to get a better quality, you can get the DVD or VHS from us. The idea of churches incorporating is really, just in the last number of years, kind of a new thing and totally unnecessary. And I think a serious problem eventually. That's the news, and they're getting it, or at least with the news around your neck, and then eventually they will jerk it tight. That's what they've done in the communist countries. You know, you can have a church, or you just have to register. The Internal Revenue Code, which is sitting right there, Internal Revenue Code 501c3 says a church can be exempt from taxes. Well, keep reading. Internal Revenue Code 508 says the church is a tax exception.
We're not even under the tax laws.
Right. I ask people, you know, are you exempt from Mexican taxes or are you accepted from Mexican taxes? I'm an exception. So, those two websites that deal with the subject of churches incorporated. One is hushmoney.org, H-U-S-H, to keep churches quiet. See, once a church becomes a 501c3 corporation, they can't, you know, 100 years ago, politicians were scared stiff of churches because the pastor would get up in the pulpit and say, Senator Jones is a whoremonger, don't you vote for him, you're not right with God. We had to find a way to silence the churches because the Christian influence was incredible in politics. Not the politics, but news and art flows like that. They became very nervous about the churches, and so the IRS came in and said, we will offer tax exempt status. Well, why would you want that? You're already a tax exception.
Right. You have to apply for this exempt status, which you already have in the first place, according to 508.
Right.
So, really, it's the limit they call that's right.
So, as far as finding out if your church is, I can assure you, probably 99.9% of the churches in America are. Most of them just ignorantly, they don't know.
That's just the way it's been. This way
it's been a long time. Our ministry here is not 501c3. We are now the Lord Jesus Christ, and Internal Revenue has admitted that the church and their ancillary ministries is an exception to the code,
or
an exception to the law. So we're not breaking any laws, but those don't apply.
Exactly.
Now, hushmoney.org and mercyseat.net. Mercyseat.net and hushmoney.org are two websites you would want to get more information on that topic. It's not my field of expertise, but
thank you very much. Go for that today.
Go.
All right, next one is from 2021.
Okay.
My name is Chris, and I'm having an email exchange with a skeptic who's arguing Christianity borrowed its concept of Satan from the Zoroastrianism.
Zoroastrianism. Okay, yes.
This, how valid is this argument? Mr. Noah. The email would make me with this friend was to know, did Christianity borrow the concept of Satan from
the Zoroastrianism? No, they did not. There's a good book about that, The Lone War Against God, by Henry Morris. It's here. It should be in this section of the library.
I don't remember that, but what is he going to say?
Henry Morris goes through all of the pagan religions. You know the book is gray and white, whatever it might be over there, but not yet. And they're kind of like, as we sell on the website, it's black and white version now, there's no cover. You go to drnatter.com and go to our books to see the Law War Against God by Henry Morris. Excellent book. He goes through all of the pagan religions, including Zoroastrianism and Taoism, and shows how that they are really based on the evolution philosophy.
So a grand lucky one. You need to understand the history, your Christian, the history of the how we have the Bible, and the story of Satan is right in Genesis chapter 3. I mean, it's in the Bible. And Genesis chapter 3 was actually written by Adam. There are five, or so, 10 different authors for Genesis. We covered that in your seminar now.
Yeah, actually, we had it. These are the generations that separates the different tribes.
Seminar part 7 on the videotape version we have. Apparently, God wrote the first chapter and the four verses of chapter 4. He went to Adam and said, here's how the creation took place. Adam wrote part of Genesis up through chapter 5, verse 1. Then he signed off. These are the generations of Adam. And then Noah wrote the next chapter and a half and signed off in Genesis 6, 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah's sons wrote part. Now, the fact of the matter is, Moses didn't actually edit it and put it in book form and start, pressing out until probably 1,000 years after the flood. By then, several other religions had already written down their legends. Okay, but they had an oral tradition passed on from grandpa to grandson over and over and over, and it had become pretty perverted, pretty distorted, made this better work. So Moses had the originals, it's the actual account. Now, Christianity came up with Satan first because the Bible teaches, there was a Satan. There was.
And there is. And there is. And it's not even in the Bible, I'm sure.
And it makes a story like,
this is from CRS24AAU screaming, what proof do you have of creation? Not what proof we have of creation.
Well, I think the best proof of creation would be the impossibility of the contrary.
That's true.
Suppose I were looking at a swimming pool and I say the water is only the top 2 feet is water and the rest is air underneath. You say that's impossible. Water is heavier than air. It's impossible for it not to be water all the way to the bottom. I don't have to prove that there's water all the way to the bottom. There will be water all the way to the bottom. So it's impossible that the impossibility of the contrary. It's impossible that there not be a creator because everything is so complex.
And you have the contrary to them.
The opposite is nobody made it.
Exactly.
Okay. So as I said, these headphones right here, they're made of nothing but natural materials. Probably synthetics, made originally from natural materials. Well, therefore, because that's all natural materials, nobody made it. Well, even something as simple as a pair of headphones, or purely not simple, or an ink pen or a pencil or anything, just because it's natural components, graphite and ink and wood and an eraser, what is our proof? Still, this is evidence of design, even a little eraser. This is evidence of design. This is designed for a purpose. And everything we see in the universe shows evidence of design.
The Bible even states that doesn't have, once you see the creation,
Romans chapter 1,
you are without an excuse. You have to believe in a creator. He doesn't think that God has made us. Once we see this creation, we know it had to be created.
One question I ask to the atheist when they ask a question like this, I'll say, do you have to light a candle to see the sun? You don't go outside and light a candle to see the sun. I mean, it sounds like funny. Like, the evidence for creation is we are it. We're in the middle of it. If you were walking through the woods and you found a painting hanging on a tree, you look around, no footprints, no evidence of human activity, but there's a painting hanging on a tree. What do you can do?
Somebody made it.
The painting is proof of the painter, whether you ever meet the painter or not. Okay? You're walking through the woods, you find a building. You look around, there are no footprints, there's no people, there's no evidence of anybody having ever been there. But here's a building.
Yeah. You know what I
mean? That was another building.
Yeah.
So all you got to do is open your eyes, or your ears, or any part, any of the senses of your body, and say, wow, there is a creation, there must be a creator.
Just looking at the trees, if you're going to do it, just right outside, just looking at those trees, automatically,
the single cell of your body or anything, if you're thinking so, how are you going to? I want to get the book by Michael Behe, Darwin's Black Box, for more on that.
Because Behe is not a creation.
That was not a Earth creation. He's not an independent, temperamental, fundamental, right-wing, radical, trick eating Baptist.
Wow.
That's right.
That's a lot.
You didn't know all that
yet. No idea. But either way, he's got a lot of great material on the complex systems of this universe and after that.
He's got a whole chapter on describing the hair on a bacteria, which, by the way, we're getting a model of this week tomorrow.
Okay.
At the right time of this book, we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour. This is Aaron Coleman along with Dr. Kent over here answering your questions on creation versus evolution and the Bible. How creation and the Bible all tie together. Moving on to the anti-Homan websites and things that people have to say against Dr. Homan, letting him defend himself to you. And we're going to continue on with all of those. If you have any questions or comments, you can get hold of us any way you'd like to. Our phone number, if you'd like to call into the show, is 850
479-3466, or toll free in the U.S., 877-479-3466. If you want to AOL instant message us, our screen name is Dr. Dino Live, D-R-D-I-N-O Live, and you can email it or send your messages in, and we'll get those right here. And a lot of stuff to cover your doctor, you need to write. There's been a lot of other questions. This one, many websites, by the way, most of these websites that we have are linked together, they just get the same information, rearrange a little bit. Go on a new website, there's over 1,000 of them. We're trying not to repeat all of the questions and all the comments that they have, because most of them are the same. We're trying to go to the main points here, the main things that he has to repeat here. First topic of discussion that people have to say about up there is Owens bankruptcy decision. Back that happened back in 1996, is that correct?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Okay, so tell us what happened after
that. Okay. We were in a battle with the IRS because I believe everybody should obey the law, including the government. Then I don't violate any laws regarding the taxes that I'm aware of. I'm actually very familiar with the tax laws. I've smacked my high books down there on the subject. I want very badly to obey the law, and I want the government to do the same. The IRS, they came and stole our cars. My cars, but I was gone. Okay. Came 7 in the morning, scared my wife half to death. I was gone preaching. And they stole the cars. So, that's how they always do it. They come steal your stuff, and then, now let's negotiate.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they came to get Joe Sweet's cars, IRS came. Well, they always come with the sheriff, makes it look like the sheriff is on their side. Actually, the sheriff's there to make sure they don't fight. They're just there to keep the peace. And they said, Mr. Sweet, we're going to get your cars. He said, okay. He went out. Got the second car, I believe. Turned sideways to block on the first car. I shut it off, put the keys in his pocket, and rolled up the window, and they sat there. Sheriff came over, knocked on the car, and said, Mr. Sweet, you want to get out of that car? And he said, you need to get out of the car, IRS is here. He said, officer, would you go ask them if they have a warrant? A warrant? They don't like a Fourth Amendment warrant. I could pay the Constitution. They don't know. What do you mean? So the sheriff goes over and says, you guys have a warrant? He says, no, man, here's my badge. I'm from the IRS, Oh, all right, my badge. I'm from Disneyland now. Do you have a warrant? That's the question. Okay. they said, no, we don't have a warrant. So they go back up. Sheriff goes back up and says, Mr. Sweet, you don't have a warrant. But these guys are afraid, okay, just they want your cars. He said, I don't care if they're from heaven. If they don't have a warrant, then I get my cars. So the IRS guys go over, knock on the window, you're above the window, yes, may I help you? And they said, if you don't get out of that car, we're going to leave. I said, okay. He's from my Tampa, Florida area that helps people with questions like this. Okay, this is not my field of expertise, but he's really, really knowledgeable on it. They came to my cars when I wasn't here. All right, they would not have taken them. I would have gotten the car, blocked the drive, said, sorry, let me see your warrant. But my wife didn't ask that question. This is typical, Gestapo technique that they use, and it generally works. Okay, they work on fear and intimidation and they rely on people's ignorance of the law. So, if I'm a friend of mine say, what do I do to get my cars? It's going to be, they're going to drag this out for months. I don't have a car. It's my wife's car, my car. He said, file bankruptcy. I said, well, if you file bankruptcy, you have to return the equipment and then negotiate, then let's discuss it. I said, oh, okay. So I had never done anything in the legal system in my life. I didn't know where the courthouse was. I've lived here for 15 years. I've 6 years ago, I didn't know where it was. Okay, I don't get in trouble. I don't pay the law. It's nice to be the truth. I've had these people take us over the internet, but that's, I never had any trouble. And so, I filed bankruptcy, and I made a few mistakes in the filing, okay? I didn't fill out the papers right, and do some things, so, the judge, the IRS, rather than return the equipment, right away filed a countersuit and said, we want this filing thrown out as a bad faith filing. I didn't know what bad faith filing was. I didn't know what filing was. All I knew is to go get all this paper and fill it out. And so the judge threw out the filing as a bad faith filing. It wasn't done properly throughout. So bottom line is, we're not bankrupt. We're not bankrupt. It's a technique that many people use perfectly fine. To the negotiation tactic is what it was. And it's still on the internet, 6 years later.
Yeah, now, what exactly are they trying to say about this bankruptcy decision?
I wonder, what does it have to do with creation and evolution?
First of all, that's true. It has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Right.
The subject that we discussed,
So, secondly, that's all it was. It was a battle with the IRS, which is fine. For example, the IRS is leaving me alone. I haven't bothered me in years. And,
Why not?
I expect them to win them all, and I will win them all. You know, if I'm doing something wrong, let me know. Okay.
Now, many people say that you file bankruptcy to get out of paying taxes.
But it's different. No, I'm trying to get out of my job. I think everybody should pay. You always got to pay. I've got the tax books right there. There are probably 140 tax laws that have been passed by Congress. If you're involved in this activity, you must pay this tax. If I'm involved in this taxable activity, I pay the tax. I buy a bottle of water. There's probably 30 or 40 taxes by the time it gets to my table.
So you do pay your tax.
I pay your tax, I will
check.
And all these websites are accusing me of not paying taxes. You people that are listening there should require them to show me which law I'm violating.
Show you a tax you shouldn't be paying.
I'm not breaking any laws. They make a generic claim, you know, and then how do you defend against something like that? Show me which law. There's a law that requires people to manufacture alcohol, tobacco, and firearms to pay a tax on that. I don't make any alcohol, tobacco, or firearms. So I don't pay a tax. There's a law that says if you manufacture a truck and bus chassis in Guam, you have to pay your taxable. Never made a law. And I said, manufacture a truck and bus chassis in Guam. There's a law that says you can mine coal underground in the Virgin Islands. You gotta pay tax on that. I've never been to the Virgin Islands, and I don't mine coal there. So, yes, so the people that are saying I don't pay my taxes are either confused about the law or they're deliberately lying because it's absolutely not true.
We're showing you that. I'm gonna be tax.
It's just unrelated to the subject, and it's not related to me, and it's not, not very well. It's like, if they're gonna accuse me of not paying some kind of tax, I want them to show me the law. I'm very familiar with the law. And I can assure you, I won't comply.
Now, one of the websites that I was familiar with this is talkorigins.org. And,
Talk Origins seems to be a news group for specifically the creation evolution. You know, they're trying to educate people on the creation evolution controversy. Why they have that on there, I have no idea.
So,
personal information or, you know, the history of Dr. Hubner Weissman, it really has nothing. That really is usually a controversy itself, and they claim to be an unbiased, you know, party. So, you know, again, why they have that on there, I don't know.
Now, Steve and I, just because somebody is accused of something, this is trial by media, is what it is, okay? Jesus was accused, convicted, and sentenced for over nothing he did in the wrong.
Innocent.
So, people get accused of things all the time, you know, and it doesn't mean anything. So, it doesn't prove anything. I've never been convicted of any crime. I've been convicted of a few driver's licenses. I mean, a few, speeding tickets. I've never been convicted of any crime. And so,
unfortunately, I'm trying to work on that. Mom didn't like that too much.
Okay, who in the Bible? Agnes Harris is certainly my favorite character.
Right, thank you. I'm not legalist, I'm biblical. Next point of discussion, the bankruptcy, I think we got that clear enough.
No, this is not really even
need to clear that.
If somebody's not happy with my answer, if some atheists are not happy, tell them to call into the program 877-479-DINO. 877-479-DINO. 850-479-DINO. If they're not going to call in and give me a chance to defend myself, then tell them to remove that stuff off their website. They're either confused or they're lying. Take it off the website.
Exactly. Next thing we're talking about is Ann Hogan's $250,000 award to prove on evolution. Doc, I'm ready to see the check, because I'd like to see the check for $250,000.
I got $23.
Doc Urban, do you have the money?
I don't have the money.
Doc Urban, do you have, I'd like to go to a bank account for money. So this is the concept. I don't even know where the money is at.
It's in my house, it's right here.
It's a surety.
It's under my mattress.
But that's why they argue with you, that they have all of their right in their safe. Where's the money? We say, where's the proof? They say, where's the money? We say, where's the proof? They say, where's the money? Here's the central bank proof. Then they say, oh, he doesn't want proof. Oh, he would accept my proof. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's absolutely ridiculous.
How many websites have I done that about the clear legal property?
Every one of them.
Probably 1,000. I'm not sure there's 1,000. It's getting close.
I even read. Well, you didn't talk about the proof.
I started years ago offering $1,000 for anybody with any proof for evolution. Then they raised it to $10,000. Then a friend of mine called him and said, hey, I got money, might as well make $250,000. I said, okay, if you're backing me up, so the money is legitimate. And he's got way more than that, won't be a problem. And so he sold his Humvee, and he got a $100,000 Humvee when I was out there visiting him. I mean, everything on, you can imagine. The stuff I have really had about Humvees, you know, it's just one of the main vehicles. So, not a problem. You know, we'll get the money. So,
contention is, evolution is one of the dumbest and most dangerous religions in the history of the world. It's a dumb idea, and it's certainly not scientific. So, we want people to be able to prove evolution is true. You're telling us we came from a Big Bang 4.6 billion years ago, and you're telling us in the textbook, they're all right here. You're telling us that, you know, the Earth came down 4.6 billion years ago, it rained on the rocks for millions of years, turned them into soup, and the soup came alive 3 billion years ago, and this first life form found somebody to marry, had something to eat, of course, and slowly evolved into everything we see today. I think the whole story is a fairy tale, it's retarded, but if they want to believe it, that's fine. But they don't just want to believe it. They want everybody to believe it. That's probably fine too, if everybody tries to spread their religion, I'm trying to spread mine. But they won't need a penny to spread their religion. Oh, no, we got a problem. Okay. And they want to do it in the public school system at taxpayer expense. Now we really got a problem. So, I said, unless you can give some empirical scientific proof for evolution, just take it out of the textbooks. It's not part of science. It goes in a religion class, or in a fairy tale class, or in a private school. There's got no business being taught at taxpayer expense in public schools.
Now, this particular website that I'm looking at is AUstarNet.com, AUstarNet.com.au/steer/Kent-Holman-Spelling-Challenge. Anyway, talking about a man named Kevin who asked for 555 days to prove, according to biology, that dogs and bananas were related. The article goes on to explain that
he had emailed me and said that they never sent the proof in. They always, say, where's the bank? You know, what bank accounts are in? Who's in charge of it? You know, what committees are there? Who's on the committee? What's their address? Anything they can to stall to not send the evidence. Okay, where is the beef? Where is the evidence for evolution? So this guy had said, exactly what do you mean by evolution? I said, well, I think the author's pretty self-explanatory. Names the six different types of evolution that are taught in the textbooks. And I think, if you want me to pay for it, you need to prove all six, basically. And he says, well, what if I just prove, different species unrelated? I said, okay, well, to make it simple, let's just delineate two. Evolution theory teaches all life forms. They throw up. I'm going to make it easy on you. I just want you to prove, was it dogs and bananas? I think I saw dogs and bananas. Yeah, I just picked out a trigger. I said, I want you to prove dogs and bananas are related. If you want to believe dogs and bananas are related, that's perfectly fine. I don't care what you believe. But don't call it science. Don't even call it common sense, okay? Anybody that has to believe that, please help. And that's why we're here. We're here to help. So what's your argument about the author now?
Yeah, so he's saying that Kevin, came to you and he said, almost got this thing after almost 550 days. He almost had the project complete, and you said, there's a judge that would be a good decision maker on this. He could check it out. He's complaining that he said, what does this judge have to do with that? Does he have an expert in biology or anything like that? Or why would he make a good person to judge the decision?
Well, I called probably 20 people that are scientists that are top in their field that I, most of whom I've never met. I think I've met one or two of them, actually. He left it. I told him when I was there, I was going to offer $250,000 for proof of evolution and ask if they would be willing to be on a committee to judge the validity of anything that comes in. He said, I'm so sure we'll do that. So one guy sent in something which was relatively dumb, and I knew this was retarded. This is not, he didn't read the offer. This is not. But I sent him out to the 11 people. I sent him a list of all their names and addresses and said, I sent this to these people, and they're going to, return. Well, his deal was, giant strawberries, the big double-sized strawberries, polyploidy, is proof of evolution. Because they have double the number of chromosomes.
Okay, strawberry now.
What did they start with? Probably a strawberry. They said that kind of proof came from a rock. After all, twice as big as the taxi chromosome. So, did they send it to the committee? I made the mistake of sending all their names and addresses to this guy. He then, of course, a couple of them wrote back. Most of them was dumb, probably didn't answer because it is dumb. Okay. Then a couple of them wrote back to him and said, no, polyploidy. One of them had a very nice answer, which I've got on my computer. Saying, no, sorry, this is polyploidy. It's a doubling of existing information. It does nothing for the strawberry. It doesn't taste as good.
It's bigger. It's the strawberry. It's better for us. It may not be better for us.
It's all about the core, which is a volumes. Better for the farmer.
Exactly.
Yes, better for the farmer. It doesn't taste as good. But there's nothing in information. It's a doubling of information. So, you got to wrote back. And then this guy spent the next several months writing quite everybody on the committee. Horrible email, sending up pornography, sending up all kinds of stuff.
really bothering them, you know. These guys are scientists who want to do their job, okay? They don't want to be bothered by idiots who have nothing else to do. So, I wrote to them and said, I'm so sorry. I will not give your names out again, you know, because there are people out there who have nothing else to do except hassle Christians. You know, you see that on the internet, right? With people that, this guy spent 555 days writing up an article that was evidence. I think he represented, you know, complaining about who's on the committee. As I recall, Kevin is all I know. Yeah. He never sent any evidence, so they don't. There is no evidence for evolution. If they want to believe there is, great, send it to me. I've got 84 debates now. I've got one more next week up in Arkansas. I think three more coming up in the next few months on the website. Go to drdangle.com and check out our itinerary. I'll be glad to come debate any professor anytime in front of any university. And if it meets my schedule, of course, I can do a busy schedule. But that's
then they say, they try to make you look even worse, Dr. Rupert, saying, well, now that he's really changed his armor from what it originally was, now he's not even going to send the evidence. If you do send the evidence, he's not even going to send it on to the judges until he filters it himself.
Well, this first place is not correct. If you really send evidence, I would send it on.
If you don't actually send in evidence, I don't think it's interrupted.
I think five, if I will. Maybe six, I go back to
how many years?
Maybe the last 12. There's 3.25 million. I don't know. Since I was 10,000, 15 years ago.
What do you think about the Russell from people who would be sending that in?
They all brag about some detail they offer. Where's the bank account? Stuff like that. It just, it's good. My work is good. Then I'll sell. Something will sell my side of that.
And I'm going to
get that one. I'm going to get that one. Okay. That's a great. We'll talk more about some of the other websites and take your calls. Call it, folks. 479-DINO. It's 504-479-DINO. After break. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour. This is the final segment. If you want to call in, 850-479-DINO. Or 801 instant message us. What is it again?
Dr. Dino Live.
Streaming. Okay. We're answering some of the other websites. We're going to try to finish this in a couple more programs. And then we got off of this as a package. So we'll talk about the video or audio of all this stuff. Okay, get this guy's challenge here.
In the background, we're still discussing this bogus challenge. I think Dr. Bogus challenge is a bogus idea. What that is a $250,000 offer for evidence of evolution. Empirical scientific evidence for real stuff. He doesn't accept everything.
Say, not theoretical. What's going to happen? Let it happen. Give me enough time. You know, we'll see it. Science is things we can see and observe and test and demonstrate. We don't do any of that with evolution. Evolution's not even our science. It's a religion.
Everything that's been written about this challenge and what makes it bogus is all nothing to do with evidence. It's all to do with how the challenge is brought forward.
Right. They've got to let the challenge look. If I'm offering them, I don't offer them what I want.
Exactly.
If Kmart wants to offer, you know, 2-for-1 prize, you buy one hot dog, you get another one free, and you say, well, I want to have another. No, the price is $5 for me.
I'm not going to take my website.
This guy says the challenge is sinister. This is from Dr. Barron. It's a weird last name. This is from South Botswana. VLAARDINGERBROEK.
So I read it differently.
Who says the offer is bogus because he sent in information? Let's see. No, he never did send any proof for evolution. What's in this story is the revelation that he who has chosen the aforesaid committee, maybe, will look at the evidence first and decide what submissions go to the committee at all and to what members of the committee. Well, this is, I think, especially correct. If somebody sends me, you know, their evidence for evolution is obviously retarded, like, you know, double-sized numbers is proof we can't put on. I'm not going to send it back to the committee. And then I said, I've got proof of evolution. He said, we've developed soybean plants that are resistant to frogs. It's probably a new species. I said, that's good. I said, what are you starting with? He said, soybean plants. I said, oh, what do you have now? He said, a new species. I said, of what? A soybean plant. Oh, that's proof of evolution. Well, all right. I just don't know if I can help somebody like that. But I'm sure not going to waste time with these scientists who have agreed to be on the committee. I have them from many different fields of science, biologists, botanists. Anthropologist, maybe not a creationist, some maybe, I don't know, I've never been one of them.
There may be some evolutionists out there right now saying there is lots of evidence of evolution. Okay. What are they looking at? When they say there's lots, in their mind, there really is lots of evidence.
Because they're looking at variations within the kinds. They see dogs and wolves having a common ancestor. I agree.
So we would agree with that.
Yeah, sure. that's why I distinguish on the website, drhammer.com, look at the quarter million-dollar offer. It's not for what we call microevolution, which is a lousy term.
Yes.
It's a variation, microevolution, which is a variation within the kind that wants some real evidence for the rest of the theory. Where's the beef? There is none.
So that's one of the things is, first of all, if you're out there, you're saying there's lots of evidence of evolution, first of all. Is it evidence of microevolution, simple, small variations within the kind that would, in your mind, or in people's minds, or in the books, they extrapolate out and say these little changes are going to equal big changes.
Right.
And they don't want to say the little changes, we want to say the big changes, right?
Right. And they don't understand that the little changes don't add up to big changes. Okay, any farmer can tell you, you may get a special breed of cow or corn or whatever you're growing on your farm that fits your area well, but the further you get away from the norm, the more problems you have.
Okay,
it's not evolution. It's a variation of a kind, and you start to get problems. But then they write, they want to know about the applicability of the term peer review to the committee. This is who's on this committee. And their impartiality, in other words, they must not be professing creationists. Think about this.
Yeah.
If they're professing creationists, they are therefore biased. So if they're all professing evolutionists, are they not biased?
They're going to be one or the other.
Sure. Yeah, everybody's got an opinion on this subject. You know, they believe God did it or somebody did it. And so, I've said sometimes I don't know if they're creationists or not. Okay. It wouldn't matter, though, if they're a scientist and they're trained in their field, their opinion would be legitimate. I want to know what they say. But see, this is common. To an evolutionist, they think if a person doesn't believe in evolution, their opinion doesn't matter. This is Soviet style, okay, in the Soviet Union. If a teacher got up and said, hey, kids, I don't think communism works. You know, capitalism is a better system. But maybe, you know, off in Siberia someplace if they survive. And then the teachers get up and say, all teachers believe in communism. Well, of course. That's what happens if you don't. Look what happens if you don't. Sure. For 3 weeks, I ran an advertisement under announcements in the online Pensacola News, Pensacola City News, labeled Attention Hoffman's Expert Committee. There's not been a single response. Because they don't exist. Happens, they don't exist. They ran an ad in the Pensacola News Journal. Attention Hoffman's Committee. And nobody responded, so that's proof they don't exist. But this person needs help, okay? I don't think any of them are from Pensacola, actually. I don't think any of them are from Florida, if I recall. I go back and look at the list. But, so if you ran an ad in Pensacola News Journal and said, where's the committee, and nobody responded, that's evidence they don't exist. Jonathan, how do you help somebody like that? But let's go ahead and start to go back to our $50,000 offer. We've got a few minutes here. A lot of people up and down are wondering about this guy named Boudica with the 300 lives. Boudica. Ian Taylor. Ian Wood. He finally told me his name after what, 6 months of writing back and forth. I should have asked him on the first time. But I have a policy to not answer anonymous cowards, okay? But I made the mistake. If he wrote this big anonymous letter, you know, calling me all sorts of names, and I said no. So I answered. He wrote it again, and I answered again. And then I said, look, I don't ever deal with anonymous people. Who are you? And he got upset because I wouldn't answer. I said, I'm not going to answer anymore unless anyone I'm talking to. And that's what he said. Buddha said, pursuers that are going to talk together. That was another one. Buddha had said, I kind of wanted to know who I was, where I lived, basically everything about me. I have it right here. Okay, somewhere over there. He insisted, Buddha, BUDDIKKAIDO.com. Buddha said, Hoban insisted on knowing who I was and where I lived, basically wanting my entire personal life to be revealed. I just wanted your name, okay? I didn't ask for any of that stuff. You're lying, okay? I never asked for any of that stuff. what about the lies of Boudica? So he said, he wrote 300 lies of Ken Hoban creationist and wanted to enter the email debate, but then said that Hoban refuses to have an email debate. Hoban refuses to debate. I wrote with the first email debate, so I don't have time. I'm going to answer my own email. I'm a secretary full time. All she does is answer email. So, no, I don't even pass email anymore. I'm just the head to me. I get phone calls by the zillions.
He said
nobody would debate him. This one guy debated him. He went for a long time.
Grant Williams on the other retailer of Evolution Fairy Tale.com actually debated Boudica.
Evolution Fairy Tale.
The debate lasted over 3 months.
This was his letter, Boudica.
It was pathetic.
Okay, go to evolutionfairytale.com and read the debate.
and spamming them.
Dr. Tell us a story about that. When we're going to do this, there's an evolutionist, so you might actually want to read first.
Geocities.com, anti-Boudica spam. This is an evolutionist. He says, this site has been erected as a warning to other internet users involved in the creation of ocean debates. You ignore this warning, you may find your email box filled with hate, filled rude messages from an internet character called Boudica, a.k.a. Ian Wood. This all started on a site called evolutionfairytale.com. The Boudica issued a challenge to the owner of the site for a debate. The owner wasted no time in accepting the challenge, and the debate was on. When the debate was finished, it was clearly evident that Boudica had lost. His true colors began to really shine through. People who signed the Evolution Fairy Tale guest book soon found their inboxes filled with spam from this Boudica character. Boudica challenged each and every person to continue with him the debate that he'd already lost. But people refused to debate, Boudica became angry. Soon it got far out, so far out of hand, I knew I had to intervene before Boudica did something drastic and hurt somebody. I emailed Boudica. I offered him the opportunity to debate me, where he and Fred had left off. I'm a hardcore evolutionist, by the way, but I don't like people like Boudica who feel they need to force their beliefs on others. After several email exchanges, Boudica and I agreed to debate on Bible myths of Noah's flood. We agreed on a size limit, and Boudica agreed to go first. The entire time I was laughing because I knew I had no intention of answering Boudica's opening argument. I could just picture the little cat spending days behind his computer, wasting his time. I could just picture him working on every little detail, making a little opening argument just to go over the list. What a loser Boudica really is. About a month went by, Boudica didn't hear a beat from me. Soon he emailed me and told me if I didn't answer his opening argument, that I would automatically forfeit the debate. I returned his email and told him what a sucker he is, and that he had just wasted his time. So Boudica, the spammer, was finally put in place. Of course, the spamming didn't stop there. Just visit the guest book and make appropriation posting along with an email address, and I'll bet you'll find, I'll bet you anything you will find, you'll see if hate filled emails from Boudica. So this is for geocities.com, anti-Boudica spam. This is an evolutionist site who says Boudica, shut up.
All right, an evolutionist is a Democrat at all.
And here's Kent Hovind, a letter too, from Ian Wood, Boudica, at AOL.com. They bash me for all sorts of things.
That's his email address.
Yeah, Boudica at AOL.
Free to email Boudica. He's got it to my email. Boudica, if you're out there,
he says, he says, I have never yet found a creationist who's willing to debate me on the internet. Well, Boudica, you're lying, okay? The one guy did and slaughtered you. I'm not willing to debate anybody on the internet, okay? I'm willing to debate you live in front of any university, anytime, anywhere within the realm. I'm just going to call in for your program. He's going to look at the phone for his program, so I'm not paying him to pay for a phone call. Call
877-479-3466.
He says, during the time Boudica says I'm emailing him with comments, his responses from the very first were routinely patronizing and insulting. Never at any time has he attempted to address any of the serious problems that have been exposed in his material.
Boudica, first place, I don't care what you think, okay? I got other things to do. I can care less what you think or say or write. It doesn't matter to me.
You have no effect on me. Zero. It doesn't matter. Secondly, but I know it has serious problems in my material that I'm aware of. I get plenty of criticism that I read through your criticism and thought, this guy needs help. You know, I guessed he was probably a ninth grader trying to become famous and just learn how to use a computer and is, you know, wanting to make a name for himself by, you know, I can't open a lot.
I mean, he knew what some of his lies had to do with here. I mean, it's just that, you know, what exactly does he talk about?
He sent me the list of all 300 I read through, and I thought, I see my seminar. I addressed nearly all of these things in my seminar.
Okay.
So if you read that, we only got 2 stuff in this program. If you read his 300 lies, any of them bother you?
He's got them on the internet.
Yeah, he's got them on this list.
He took the gentleman 6 months to build that.
It took a little over 6 months for him to compile this site, Creationist 300 Lies that Dr. Hovind is apparently saying.
He has nothing else to do.
I have things to do. I actually sat down one time to write a rebuttal to the majority of them, and it's been probably 2 months now, and I have 9 of them done because we're so busy around here.
Yeah.
And expects you to sit down and do it.
You know, if you read the book of Nehemiah, they tried to stop Nehemiah from building the wall. They tried everything.
Finally, they said, come on down here to the plain of Ohel. Let's talk about this. And he said, look, I'm doing a great work for the Lord. I don't have time to bother with you guys. No, I'm not going to come down to Ohel and talk to you.
And to read Nehemiah, we're building a wall up here. We got plenty to do. All we're trying to do is destroy.
How far behind are you on your list of things to do?
I'm will stay behind. I'm going to dial that to the phone. You know, he didn't get it all done. The secretary's going to hand a stack of emails and messages and label it to the phone. They're going to finish these later. So, at least you finally will be arrested. They're going to turn it over to the rest. That'll make up the last thing you do. I will. So, he asked a question. Can you explain scientifically what is a biological or genetic mechanism which permits all manner of variation within a kind, but somehow slams the door shut on the kind barrier, preventing one kind from varying into another kind? I don't think anybody knows what the genetic barrier is. There certainly is some barriers that are pretty obvious. I don't think we know enough about the gene code to know this, but this is the number of chromosomes prevents many things from crossbreeding. That is still one which has two chromosomes cannot crossbreed with dog, which has 78. Okay? Our humans have 46. They cannot crossbreed with dog, which has 78. So there's obviously a genetic barrier. Whether I completely understand it or not, I don't know. I don't think anybody understands what the barrier is. But I think it's pretty obvious to a 5-year-old that most animals that belong to the same kind, the dog and a wolf are the same kind, the dog and a pine tree are not.
We're probably going to have to wrap this up on Boudica here because we're running out of time. We've got about 1 minute left here. Final thoughts on the show. Actually, we will see you tomorrow to talk more about
this. We're going to talk about Tom. Come visit us. We'd love to